Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to church. It's beautiful Sunday morning. The sun is shining. First thing is the announcements on the back of the bulletin. There's a ritual of friendship. We welcome the opportunity to know each other to extend a friendly welcome. And the ritual friendship cards are a way of doing that. If there's any need, any prayer. And if you're visiting, just fill out the card and put it in the offering tray as it passes. That way, if you need prayer, and that the minister and the faculty, the minister will know that you need to do that, Reverend Stillwell. The schedule for the week is printed on the back of the bulletin. Wednesday Christian Kids Club. And then you have the rest. Choir rehearsal is on Thursday at 6:45 p.m. Okay. And I have an announcement from Jane. Ladies Bible study is Monday, October 24th at 7 p.m. Pretty sure that's tomorrow evening. And again, I want to welcome you. We are glad to have you in our worship service today. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, may you find within these doors rest of soul, peace of heart, and strength to walk walk with God all the days of your life. Are there any other announcements? Cheryl, go ahead.
The junior youth group will be assembling the shoeboxes on Sunday, November the 13th, after coffee hour.
Okay.
So there'll be more information out.
Okay. Anyone else have an announcement? Welcome to the Lord's Day. It is our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Let us spend a moment and a time of silence as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship Him. Thank you. The community comes together to serve God and worship. The opening hymn this morning is in the Red Chalice Hymnal, number 277. Christians, we have met to worship. Please rise. This is a beautiful day God has given us. We are enjoying the wonder and beauty of the Word God has created. We are experiencing the physical life God has shared with us. We have peace, hope, and purpose because of the Savior whom God has sent. So let us with joy worship the Lord our God. Let us bow now for the invocation, followed by the Lord's Prayer. With meekness and humility, we draw near to you, confessing our faults, admitting our needs, resting on your grace, opening our lives to your Spirit, and finding in you our refuge and strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord, and as he taught us to pray, our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory forever. Amen.
Please be seated. The community comes together to share tithes and offerings. As we present our morning offering, let us do so in humble gratitude for what God has done for us. The offertory hymn and the chalice hymnal, verses 1, 2, and 4 of number 556, Trust and Obey.
Thank you. pray that all your service, our service to you, O God, will be done without pride or pretense. We are not boasting about generosity or greatness, but we are responding to your goodness and grace. Amen.
The community proclaims the word of God. Our first scripture reading this morning is Luke 14, verses 1 through 11, and that's on page 77 in the New Testament of your of the Pew Bible. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. Just then, in front of him, there was a man who had dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, "Is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not?" But they were silent. So Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. Then he said to them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on a Sabbath day?" And they could not reply to this. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. The word of the Lord. The anthem this morning, "On Eagle's Wings," a solo by Wanda. Thank you. I can't wait.
This is a devotional song, actually, and it was written by Father Jan Michael Jonkas, who is a priest from the St. Paul, Minneapolis area archdiocese, and he wrote it in 1979. But he based it upon Psalm 91, and that tells us about God's never-ending protection and providence for us. "You need not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. For to his angels he's given a command to guard you in all of your ways." That has to bring us such peace, knowing that God is always there, always watching us. Then the song goes on, using a metaphor of eagles to depict God's high and secure places. In the chorus it says, "And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand."
Thank you. Thank you, Wanda, sing that beautiful song so beautifully. Appreciate that. And that is always one of my favorite scriptures also. I remember it being the theme of an international youth event I went to in high school, and it's always stuck with me. So thank you for sharing that with us this morning. I want to ask forgiveness. When Bill was doing announcements and he asked for them, I had two, and I don't know, I was caught up in something and I missed it. So I have, before we pray, I want to give you two announcements. One is that Trunk or Treat is next week, and I'm very much looking forward to that. It's from 2 to 4, and if you volunteer to decorate your car, please come at about 1:30 so we can get everything set up and everything squared away and ready to go. And I will be buying cookies this week to give out to people who come, but as always, we never know how many people are going to come. It's always hard to get a guest, so if you are willing, if you wouldn't mind to make some cookies as well and donate them, you can drop them off anytime during the week at the church. If you are decorating your car, you're responsible for your candy, but we can always use some more. So one way that people can help who aren't decorating cars is to donate some candy to the church. Again, you can drop that off anytime during the week. It would be very helpful. The second thing is that on November 13th, we will not be having coffee hour as usual. Instead, we will be having a very big, enjoyable meal to celebrate a very big occasion, the retirement of Jackie Henry. And so Teresa's dinner team, I don't remember what number you are. Number two is working on that meal, but if anybody can help out and make donations as well. And I also just want to say that to you, we've mentioned it before, it'll be in the newsletter, but we have, I'd say, about 70 or 80 very active members, but a lot of times, especially lately, we haven't been all coming on the same Sunday. So don't go on vacation that day. Don't go to work that day. Okay? Whatever it is, don't be sick that day. Don't have a baby that day. Okay? November 13th, let's mark that on our calendars, and let's all come to celebrate and to give our thanks to Jackie for her service. So now let us come together to lift up our prayers before our God. Let us continue to pray for all those who are on our prayer list. I know a lot of traveling this week. Browser in Europe. I'm assuming if the Ainsleys aren't here in October, it's because they're in Disney. I'm just guessing. Yeah. So we want to pray for all those who are traveling. Next week, I know the Henschels are heading to Vegas. Let us pray traveling mercies for all those who are going all back and forth across God's creation. What other joys and concerns do we want to share this morning? Mike? We're going to continue to pray for Trina in the late stages of her pregnancy and pray that she gets the rest that she needs, which is difficult with a 3-year-old, 4-year-old at home. So we want to pray for her. Thank you for sharing that this morning. Heidi? Continue to pray for Jocelyn. She also will have a baby this week, one way or the other. Continue to pray for baby Eli. And the surgery was not on a different eye. It was the same surgery again. Okay, both eyes. So we continue to pray for baby Eli, his second eye surgery, and for Ellie's roommate and friend who were mugged last night. Let us pray for them. Roxanne? That's wonderful news. That's wonderful news. Thank you for sharing that with us. And also, with the Zumba class, they meet 3 nights a week, Tuesday, Wednesday. Okay. Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays at 6:30. So come on out. And also, one of the instructors, Emily, she was helping out with Kids Club this week. That was wonderful. It was good to see her. So wonderful things happening with the Zumba class and with other programs in the church. It does. Thank you, and thank you for also reminding me. Another announcement I forgot. Senior youth group meets next Sunday after trunk or treat, 5 o'clock, we'll have a dinner here, and then we'll go up to a corn maze in Ligonier. So please let me know. And there was a generous anonymous donation so that there will be no cost for that trip. So please let me know if you're coming next week. Jane? Pray for Heidi recovering from her headache, migraine headache. Janice?
I just want to say a big thank you to all the people that helped with the baked potato salad bar last week.
And that was to raise money for our youth programs. Do you have a tally for us?
Nancy,
she's not here today.
$290.
Very nice,
that's
almost.
Rounded up, I believe, but somewhere near.
Thank you for having that for us and for all the programs. We have two youth groups, junior youth group, senior youth group, Kids Club Vacation Bible School. We'll be starting the junior choir again soon, I understand.
We're hoping to, yes.
That's wonderful. So thank you for doing that. And if there are no others, the last thing I want to say is that Ron Soltis, we need to continue to pray for him. As we know, his grandson died, and the funeral was this week. He said that it was a very moving funeral, and that really helped the family to heal and to move on. But obviously, they are still going to very much need our prayers in the days ahead. So let us continue to pray for Ron, his daughter Beth, on the passing of his grandson Jake. Seeing none other, let's now take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Powerful God, we come to you in this time of need, this time of joy. We come to you because we know how powerful you are. You whose throne is built on the foundation of righteousness and justice, we give thanks to you this day that we may turn to you, as great as you are and as small as we are. Pray to you for your help, your guidance, and your strength. And we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to have all the answers, but simply come and worship you and turn to you and know that your help is available to us in all times, places, in all circumstances. We thank you, Lord, that our faith is not measured by the ardor of our belief, the eloquence of our speech, the amazingness of our works, but by the humility and contrition of our heart. We come before you not because we are worthy, but because we are not, and we need your forgiveness and your mercy and your grace that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we give you thanks this day for the eternal truths of our faith that have been handed down to us, that you are a God who comes to us again and again and again, no matter how many times we have forgotten or turned away, who has delivered again and again a people who stray, who has provided again and again for an ungrateful people who want more and more, who has set out a banquet and invited all to come and feast. We pray that all will come, Lord. We pray for those who are traveling today, who are not with us today, who have been in the hospital and are recovering at home, for those whom we know are not feeling well and that we need to call upon, for those who are having difficulties in their lives and don't feel near to you. In particular, we lift up those who have been prayed for this morning. For Heidi battling her migraine headache, we give thanks that she's returned from the hospital. For the family of Chad, who has passed away, we pray that he has found peace with you and that his family may find it as well. For the family of Jake, in particular for Ron and his daughter Beth, we pray. For they need your comfort now more than ever. And we give thanks that the funeral was the beginning of their healing and may it just be the start of them picking up the pieces of their lives. For Ellie's friends who experienced such a terrible experience last night, we pray not only for the healing of their bodies, but especially the healing of their spirits, for they are wounded and bruised and their minds are worried. May they have peace. May their faith not be shaken from the experience. We pray for those also who mug them, who attack them, that their hearts will change, that you will break open their hard hearts and help them to see the pain that they have caused and to make a better use of their lives. Lord, we continue to pray for Eli. We know that he has come through so much at such a young age, and we pray that the surgery now will be what he needs to be able to see. We pray for his return to his family soon, soon, Lord, soon. Lord, we rejoice. We rejoice at the news that we have received that is so good. For the raising of money for our library, which is a blessing in our community, we give thanks. For the raising of money for our youth programs, who are a blessing to our church, we give thanks. For the raising of money for the family of one who has passed away, we give thanks. For the birth of children to come, we give thanks, and we pray especially for Trina and Jocelyn as their births come near. And we pray for Mike and for Casey as they do the best they can to support their wives in this precious time. We pray for health and well-being. We pray for the cries of laughter and the cries of crying. We look forward to that. We thank you, Lord, that you love the world so much that in the fullness of time you became manifest in your Son, Jesus Christ, and walked among your people. We pray this day that we might come to understand how his life and death gained for us life abundant and eternal. Help us, Lord, to believe that we can be set free, finally and fully free, by all that shackles us through the loving truth of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Children, come forward for the junior sermon. M&M's? Do you guys like M&M's? Oh. If you're not standing, you can't be a test taker. Okay. Now, do you all have a favorite color? Yeah? Oh, it's Skittles. Yes. Purple. Okay, no, let me clarify. Do you have a favorite color of M&M? Because I don't think they're a purple or silver. Green? Ian? Okay. Is that your favorite color because you like the color or because you think they taste different? Do you think they taste different, Ruth?
I like pink.
Do you think that a pink M&M tastes different than a blue M&M? Well, some of you think they do, some of you don't. We are going to find out once and for all. Okay? Now, Owen and Kelsey are going to close their eyes. And you guys watch. If they open their eyes, then they're going to lose their jaws. Close your eyes. And I do well. Maybe we're not going to take that. There we go. Okay. Okay, so here we go. I have tastes like the second M&M. No, Owen. You're overthinking this, Owen. You're overthinking this. The whole point is, did they taste different to you? Okay, sit down. Kelsey, did they taste different to you? No. Okay, sit down. Okay. No, Owen, I wasn't trying to trick you. They came out of the same bag. They were the same M&Ms, and in fact, they were the same color the second time. I know. You assumed that your dad was going to trick you, because I do like to trick you. There's no doubt about that, but I didn't this time, because I wanted to make a point. No matter what the color of the M&M, they taste the same, right? The yellow tastes the same as the red, which tastes the same as the green, which tastes the same as the orange, unless the orange is a Reese's Pieces, and that's a whole different thing, right? Now, all the M&Ms taste the same, but they have different colors. Why do they have different colors if they taste the same? Why do they go through all that trouble? Yes? Right? Sometimes people like this color. Sometimes like the other color. Yes. Right. How about, also, to make it colorful, right? Doesn't it look nice when you open up the M&Ms in all different colors? And also, and this is how they get you, right? These are fall color M&Ms. I don't really buy M&Ms during the rest of the year, but you make them fall colors, I'm buying them, right? Because it just looks good in my candy jar on my desk. And it's silly, really, because it tastes the same, but it looks good. It is nice that things look different. No. It is nice that things look differently, okay? Do you all look differently? If you all look the same, would that be fun? I mean, even if you were as good looking as me, it would still be boring if you all looked like me, right? See, that's what God thought. Because God makes people differently, doesn't he? Our skin colors are different. Our hair colors are different. Our eye colors are different. And you don't all dress in the same clothes, do you? No. Wouldn't it be awful if we all looked, if we all dressed like this guy right here?
Wouldn't it be awful if we all looked like you?
No, it would be great. No, it would be bad. If we all look the same, God made us different on the outside because it's beautiful to see different people. When you look at the trees, do you like it if the trees are all green? Or do you like it better when they're orange, yellow, and red?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I bet you've heard the song, Jesus Loves the Little Children. Have you heard that song? Do you know how it goes? Will you sing it with me? On a count of three. It goes, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red, yellow, black, and white. They're precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. God made us different on the outside, and it's beautiful to see the way we're different. But we're all the same on the inside. Do you know how? We're all filled with chocolate. No. I got your attention there. We're all filled with God's Spirit, with the Spirit that God gave us. And is inside of each of us. No matter what we look like on the outside, we're all children of God on the inside, okay? I want you to think of that the next time you eat M&Ms. Which, who knows when that will be, right?
Right now.
Right now. Okay, so, give me a line. Okay. Give me a line behind the enough for everyone else too. You got to meet me after church in the narthex. Our second scripture lesson today continues in the Gospel of Luke. It continues the scripture that Bill was reading. It is chapter 14, verses 12 to 24, and it is also in the New Testament portion of your Pew Bible on page 77. And so Jesus, who has been invited to a dinner with an illustrious group of attendees, he continues to speak and to teach. As we pick up in verse 12, he said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." One of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to him, "Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." And then Jesus said to him, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land, and I must go out and see it. Please accept my apologies.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to try them out. Please accept my apologies.' Another said, 'I have just been married, and therefore I cannot come.' So the slave returned and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and the lanes of the town and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Sir, what you ordered has been done, and there is still room.' Then the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the roads and lanes and compel people to come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who are invited will taste my dinner.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is my time of year. I like the fall because of the colors and football and things like that, but this is my eating time. This is my time to eat. I love to eat, and at one point it got out of hand, and I was on my way up to like really being overweight, and I knew I had to lose some weight, but I thought to myself, how can I lose weight and still eat? Right? This is what I got to figure out. This is the trick. And so what I figured out is that I could diet from like New Year's until Easter. Right? I could really work hard on that. And so if I did that, and I set as my goal, if I could lose 15 pounds during that time period, then I could gain 10 pounds the rest of the year. And I'm telling you, I should write a book because it's actually really worked. I've lost like 5 pounds a year over the last 10 years. That's worked out. And the point being is that I have to do it that way because when this time comes, I have to eat. I mean, right now, in the refrigerator over, and my wife's not here so I can tell you this, but she's going to be here next week, so in the refrigerator over there, I have for my breakfast a pumpkin pie with pumpkin cream cheese, or cheesecake on top of it. It's awesome. You should start your day that way every day. Right? There's the pumpkin desserts that were left over from last week. I got a couple of those over there. My birthday is coming up, and my birthday is about the same week as Thanksgiving. So I have Thanksgiving, but then I have like 5 free birthday meals that I get at all these restaurants that I signed up for. So that's coming up. And then there's Christmas, and it's just one awesome thing to eat after another. This is time to eat, and I love it. And really the goal is to not do as much, to limit the damage that I'm going to do to my weight as much as possible so that I still come out ahead in the end. And so perhaps because I love to eat so much, perhaps that is why I'm drawn to this parable. This is not the lectionary text for today, but I wanted to preach on it because this parable is commonly called the parable of the great dinner. And it should not be surprising that so many of Jesus' teachings and his parables, his lessons, they involve food. Many of them do. Because they give us a great deal to digest. Now, in the story that we've heard today from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has been invited to a dinner, and he often is, and he likes to go to them. He does not turn them down. At this particular dinner are lawyers and Pharisees, the most powerful people in Israel of his time. the movers and the shakers, the ones who determine who is in, who is out, and Jesus, at least for one evening, is in. Perhaps Jesus likes to eat as much as I do, or perhaps the reason he attends these dinners is because he knows that he can reach a lot of people and also reach a variety of people when he goes to them. The modern equivalent of what is happening here would be a cocktail party on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, where anyone who is anyone is invited. Wealthy people, the power brokers, famous people, they're there. And Jesus, a new curiosity, to say the least, has also been invited. Right now, he's about the most famous person in Jerusalem, or in Israel. But a lot of people were probably not decided on him yet. Whether he's the real deal or not, whether he's a flash in the pan or he'll stick around. He's the newest star in town. He's been invited to his grand soiree, where some of the people gather there to put him in his place. I bet a lot of people are there because they want to hear what he says, but a lot of people are there because they want to show that he's not that great. He doesn't really know what he's talking about. They want to teach him who the real important people are. Others there are there to meet him because they think he is who he says he is. And others, I think, are just there because nothing attracts a crowd like a crowd. No party is better to go to than one that already has a lot of people in it, or so it seems. At any rate, Jesus goes to the house of a leader of the Pharisees, not just any Pharisee, but one of their leaders, to eat a meal on the Sabbath, and he is greeted by many who watch him closely and who listen to his words carefully. Either he will prove himself to be great, or he will condemn himself to be a fake. As soon as he arrives, he is tested. When a man who suffers from dropsy, which is retention of water, asks to be healed. Now it's important, remember, this dinner is on the Sabbath, and he has already gotten in trouble for healing on the Sabbath. So, is this man a legitimate sick man who wants his help, or is he put there by someone to test Jesus? He asked those in attendance, "What would you do?" And all are silent. Jesus heals the man, and then points out that if any of the guests had oxen who fell down and broke their leg or got hurt in some way, they would save it. They would help it. And if they could heal it, they would, Sabbath or not. They are silent. Again, already he is being tested. Already he is turning it back on them. This dinner has gotten off to a fantastic start. Next, the guests all sit down to eat. And now Jesus watches them. He notices that many place themselves in the seats of honor, and he admonishes them, saying, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, 'Give this person your place,' and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." So much good teachings here in this story, just this one pericope, this one parable. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. That's the way of, not the world, but that's the way of God's kingdom. Jesus was invited by his host in part so that he could be judged, but now he is judging others there. And Jesus saves his best moment for last when he tells the guest of the parable of the great dinner. So first we have a dinner itself, which provides instruction, example, and teaching. And then within that experience, Jesus tells another story about a dinner, which provides for us example and teaching. A man once gave a great dinner, and when it was ready, all the guests he had invited could not come. Have you ever had that happen? It's so frustrating. You make a dinner, a party, you spend all day cleaning your house, and the people that you invited cannot come, do not come. Man, the worst are the people who will not RSVP. I speak from experience. It's disappointing. What does this man do? He sends his servant out to invite others. People who were not invited. People he had not thought to invite. People for whom it was not kosher, cool, popular to invite. And they come until there is no more room. So the man invited the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. You can be sure that in the story, a number of people who are ritually unclean, I don't mean to say that they need to take a shower, but I mean to say that they are outside of the community because of leprosy, because of eating impure food. He invites them into his house. It is a story of grace. It is a story of second chances, but remember, they were not invited first. If it were up to the man, the wealthy, the well-to-do, the good-looking, the people he had invited first would have been there. Now, it's no small coincidence, it is no matter of irony that Jesus goes to a meal and tells a parable of a dinner, and in the process gives his guest and us much to chew over and much to digest. For it is amazing how much he is able to tell us in only a few words. Of all the morsels there are to learn from what we have heard, there are a few that stand out. Perhaps these were the points that inspired the conversation at dinner or after. Or maybe everyone just sat quiet the whole time because they didn't know what to say. Here's what we can learn from the story. First, the kingdom will be like a great dinner. We know that the kingdom is like a seed. It must be planted and cared before it will grow. We know that once those seeds bear fruit, God will invite us to share in the fruits of the labor. We know that the kingdom of God is like a woman who mixed yeast into the bread, and then when no one was looking, it rose and became much bigger than it was before. We know that the kingdom of God is like a woman who lost a coin, a shepherd who lost a sheep, but now we know also that the kingdom of God is like a man who prepared a great meal. God prepares it for us. God invites us to come. God invites us to taste and see and to know that it is good. So let us rejoice, for the kingdom is a place where all will be fed. None will ever hunger or go without. There is plenty to go around and then some. I think of it like a picnic, a family reunion, Thanksgiving dinner all rolled into one. You know, my mother-in-law will say that if you come to Thanksgiving and you go away hungry, it's your fault. Right? There's always enough. And what stands out about Thanksgiving, what stands out about family reunions, is that they only happen once a year or every now and then. But imagine the kingdom is a place where every day is like that. The kingdom will be a place where everyone has all that they want and need, and the joy will never end. Second, the kingdom will overturn the values of our world. And this world values things that are exclusive, things that are in high demand, but in short supply. The rarer a food is, the more expensive it is, the more exclusive it is to have it. Have you ever had escargot? It is not very good, but it's expensive. I've never had caviar. I suspect it does not taste good. You let me know if I'm wrong about that. But the rarer something is, the more we value it. Jesus should have felt honored to have been invited to a dinner with such high company. Only the best of the best got invitations to this group. But he spoke to them like they were no better than the common person. The person who would meet him on the side of the road, as had been happening again and again. Not that they were less than them, but that they weren't better. And right before telling his parable, he said to the guest, "All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." There are a lot of teachings of Jesus Christ that we must think about and contemplate and have to interpret, but this one is pretty clear, and this one is pretty important. The measurement of your faith is by how much you humble yourself. So many people spend so much time trying to climb that ladder to get ahead, to get a promotion, to get one more step above, but Jesus tells us to look at the bottom of the ladder. Because those are also the ones who will taste God's dinner. And a big part of how we get invited to the dinner is how much we help them along the way. Finally, we will learn from this parable that those who are invited will not necessarily taste God's dinner. It is not just enough to be invited. All are invited. There can be no doubt that many in Jesus' audience were insulted and outraged at Jesus' comments. First, Jesus says that the lowly will be exalted. Then he insinuates that the keepers of God's law were invited to feast with God, but now may not, because they are too busy being righteous to be holy. For those who would refuse to heal or help somebody on the Sabbath is, of course, following the letter of the law and ignoring the Spirit. It's getting it backwards. It's getting it wrong. It's not enough to merely be invited. In the parable, all those who were invited to the dinner did not come, and each had a good excuse. One bought new land, another new oxen, another newly had been married. These are all pressing matters that would get anyone excused from a dinner. But the point Jesus is making is that those who did come didn't come because they had nothing else to do. They came because in comparison to all else that was offered to them, the great dinner was the most appealing. When we have digested all that Jesus teaches us in this parable, we will know that just being invited to eat at God's table does not guarantee that we will. For the table has been set for us. The meal has been prepared, and the invitation has been given, and all of that has been done by God. It's not a potluck where we have to bring something. We don't have to call up God and ask if there's anything you need. The only thing we have to do is to come and to take our seat at God's table. We have to respond to the invitation. We have to accept it. We have to check off. Yes, we have to RSVP. We have to come to the table of our own free will, not out of any sense of obligation. God invites us to take our seat at the great dinner that has been prepared, but it is up to us to decide if we will accept the invitation. And we must come because we want to and because we believe that it is the best thing that is being offered to us. When I was in seminary, I was a part of a campus ministry group that when you graduated, you were given this book of devotionals and fun stories, interesting stories, and I want to share one with you that I always come back to. It's called Too Full to Hunger. Once upon a time, a spiritual seeker came to a holy woman and said, "I have traveled over the world from one teacher to another. I have studied many spiritual exercises and seen their advantages. And now I wish to become your student, to drink from your great store of knowledge, and so become more advanced on the spiritual path. May I become your disciple." The holy woman did not reply directly to the seeker's request, but instead announced that it was dinner time. As the rice and vegetables arrived, the holy woman herself waited on the guest at the table. She served him plate after plate of rich food and took great delight in watching the guest eat. The seeker, in turn, was pleased that such a saint would wait upon him and be so concerned about his needs, for he was hungry. And then came fruits and pastries and desserts. As the guest became full, he started eating slower and slower. He noticed this seemed to annoy the spiritual guide. And so to avoid her displeasure, the seeker ate and ate until he could eat no more. By now, not wishing to upset his prospective teacher, but unable to eat any more, he exclaimed that he was full. He could have no more. Looking at him, the old holy woman said, "When you came here, you were full of undigested teachings, just as you are now full of undigested rice and fruit. When you came, you felt discomfort, but what you thought is that it was hunger for new insights and new wisdom. But rather, you suffered from indigestion of too much previous knowledge. Being a novice in the spiritual life, you mistook the pains of inner indigestion for those of hunger. I will teach you about holiness, but first you must spend a long time digesting what you have already learned. And you could do that by practicing what you have studied. And then when I feel that you are ready, I will teach you." And it is told that the seeker went on to be a truly holy person. Jesus' followers were so filled with so many teachings, with the accumulation of hundreds of laws and hundreds of years of commentary on those laws, they thought they were hungry, but really they were stuffed. And what Jesus reminds them and reminds us is that we can overthink this thing we call faith. The whole of the law is that we love one another as we love ourselves, and that we do unto others as we have ourselves be treated. All the rest is commentary. We can only be holy if we practice what we have studied, and practice what we preach, and live what we have learned. Do not exalt ourselves. Humbly share our bread with others, and gladly accept our seat at God's table. These are the simple basics of our faith. And until we have fully understood those, and until we have fully practiced those, and until we have fully implemented those, we don't need to focus on anything else. Let us come together at God's table. Let us come together as God's children and family. Let us come together humbled by God's love and ready to take our seat at His table. Amen. And now the community comes together around the Lord's table. If any gather here wish to accept, all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are invited to take the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is number 82 in the chalice hymnal. His eye is on the sparrow.
Thank you. girlfriend who works at Carnegie Mellon University in the office of the president, and she enjoys her job, but she says that some of her coworkers are a little full of themselves because they think they work for the president, so they're, you know, in charge, can do whatever they want. Well, about 2 weeks ago, the president of the United States came to Carnegie Mellon to speak at a technology conference. And so when they went into the theater or the assembly hall to listen, her coworkers went right up to the front. There were seats that were marked reserved, and they sat in them. And she watched with glee as the Secret Service came over to tell them that those seats were reserved for the office of the president. And they said, "Yes, that's us." And the Secret Service man said, "The president of the United States." And so they had to sit somewhere else. And it was like her favorite day at work ever, she said. Because there's nothing more enjoyable than watching people get put in their place unless that person is us. And we have to think about that when we come to this table, because there are many who come to this table thinking that their place is at the head or near the head of the table, and there are many more who don't come at all because they believe that they have no place at this table. The fact of the matter is that over the history of the church, many have tried to put themselves at the head of the table that they may decide who is invited and who is not. But we know that the only person who belongs at the head of this table is Jesus Christ, and through him, all are invited to come. Not just the worthy, because the fact of the matter is that no one is. That is why we have this table. That we might come at his invitation to confess our sins and receive the grace that he serves, and we all be made worthy in the eyes of God. As we share in the meal this morning, let us think of it more as medicine for the sick than meal for the hungry. This is what we receive, for this is what we need. And let us remember that if Jesus were here today to put us in our place, he would put us around this table with him. Now this morning, let us pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come here this morning with so many things to be thankful for. For health, for babies, for beautiful fall weather. But we also know we come here with problems and sorrows and pain. But we know as we bring those forward during this communion supper, that you will be there, that you will be that voice inside our heads that says, "Let's pray about this. Wait, let's figure this out. Wait, tomorrow's another day. We can do this together." So we come here to celebrate the beauty of your majesty, and we come here to get the warmth of your love. Amen.
For a hand on to you, it was also handed on to me. That on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread, and after having blessed it, he broke it, and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do, in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup, and after he blessed it, he poured it out, and said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do, in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.
And now the community responds to the Word of God. If any gather here wish to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is in the Child's Hymnal, number 261, Sweet, Sweet Spirit. Let us stand as we sing.
As many people as we can, this wonderful banquet. Amen.